Chihuahua.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps. This model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
In Wisconsin, but it's still close. Here's Mike Moen.
In early July, AARP released survey results in Wisconsin following the debate between President Joe Biden and Republican nominee Donald Trump. At that point, Trump had a 6 percentage point lead among voters 18 and up in the Badger State. Fast forward to September, and Democratic nominee Kamala Harris leads Trump by a single point for that same demographic in a new Wisconsin poll conducted after their debate. Pollster Bob Ward explains what specifically changed following the summer shakeup on the Democratic ticket.
The movement among independents, where Trump was ahead of Biden by 5 points 2 months ago, and now Harris is ahead by 11 points.
The single point lead for Harris is for a head-to-head matchup question. It's slightly larger when factoring in third-party candidates. The Biden administration has touted its efforts to reduce prescription drug costs for Medicare enrollees, including price negotiations with drug makers. There's been chatter among Republicans about rolling back those provisions. But Ward says, based on the polling data, tinkering with those moves would not sit well with voters.
We asked this question back in July in Wisconsin and again here in this poll. And the choice between, you know, supporting a member of Congress who wants to continue negotiating lower drug prices, is it 79% versus support for the member who wants to end negotiating for lower drug prices, 8%?
The balance of power in the U.S. Senate also is being closely watched this election. In the AARP Wisconsin poll, incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin holds a 3-point lead over Republican challenger Eric Hovde among all likely voters. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a shower or thunderstorm. We'll see a high near 82. For tonight, showers and storms, otherwise mostly cloudy and lows in the low 50s. Things turn cooler for Sunday with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Mostly sunny with a high near 69 on Monday.
Currently 75 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, Wisconsin. This is Attorney Mark Thompson, your host of your Paul Revere Show, here on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across this great state of Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. Hey, folks, we've been doing this show now a little over a couple of years. We're here because we are trying to move Wisconsin forward, making sure that elections stay free, open, available to everybody, that we have real democracy in this state. And we're always excited to have people on the show to talk about how to move Wisconsin forward. Today, we have a special treat for you. I got Peter Barca, who is... Well, I'll let him tell you all about himself. And Christine Sinicki, who is a representative from the 20th Assembly, to talk about what's the latest happening in the Assembly races around the state. But, hey, first of all, Peter Barca, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what's going on?
So much, Mark, and terrific to be on your show. And I'm somebody that has been involved in and out of Wisconsin politics for many years. I started my career, in fact, my favorite job of all time is I directed a camp for kids with disabilities, frankly, because when kids are in an outdoor environment, they lose their inhibitions, and we had kids walk for the first time, talk for the first time. Very exciting. I would have paid them to work there. So that led me to start my career as a teacher, working with children with severe emotional disturbances. And then after that, I went into the employment and training business. I was an employment training coordinator. And then I went to the legislature and served for quite a few years representing Kenosha, Summers, and then Racine and Mount Pleasant and Elmwood Park at some point. And in that capacity, part of the reason I ran in the first place was to kind of look out for people with disabilities, senior citizens. Economic development was really key at the time when I first entered into the legislature, promoting small business, building that, standing up for labor unions, and trying to help to create jobs in Wisconsin at a time when we were in a deep recession, passed quite a few bills along those lines. And anyway, then I was a member of Congress and served the first congressional district. I'm running for that seat again now. And then I went back in the private sector. I ran a nonprofit employment training business as a CEO. And then I went and became a vice president of a business that I eventually bought. So I know how hard it is to own a business and meet a payroll. And then I came back in the legislature back in 2009. I became the Democratic leader during those very difficult Walker years when he was taking away people's rights to be represented by a union, essentially, and made us a right to work state, took away prevailing wage from construction workers, and we fought tooth and nail against those things. And then when Governor Evers won, I was fortunate enough to join his cabinet as Secretary of Revenue, where we worked hard to give over $1 billion in tax relief directed at middle-class people. And were able to do something significant for the workforce and passed other meaningful reforms, research and development tax credit that is very important to bring innovation forward. And a couple of my proudest accomplishments are our last couple of bills. I oversaw law enforcement officials that did alcohol, tobacco, and gaming enforcement, and they told us how we had kids end up in the emergency room because of dangerous vaping devices. So we put new regulations that stores can only sell those that are certified, so that we'd help children. And we passed also a provision to make it easier for people to donate organs through using the tax system like they do at the Department of Motor Vehicles. So that's my background, and I decided to run for Congress because I feel like we have a do-nothing, dysfunctional Congress, and it's an embarrassment to this country. And they there's so many issues where we need to advance to make our country stronger, build and expand the middle class, protect reproductive freedom, help rebuild the economy, provide better resources for child care to help solve our workforce problems, and help improve health outcomes and help build an entrepreneurial economy. So that's why I decided to run. And, with 48 days to go, I'm running strong and feeling positive.
Well, thank you for that overview. We have some time to talk about some of these things in more depth, but full disclosure, folks, one of the things that Peter Barca did was when he was the minority leader in the assembly, he appointed me to the Wisconsin Elections Commission back in 2016. So for that, Peter, I'll always say thank you. Little did I know that it would end up quite the amazing experience, right? When you had a sheriff down in your neighborhood that tried to put, five of us and get us charged with felonies and put us in prison for letting seniors vote in 2020. I mean, who would think that could happen in the United States? But a shout out. Thank you. I will always be indebted. But full disclosure, folks, I'm a big supporter of Peter. You heard what he said. He's out there talking about fighting for working people, middle class. He is not out there to, give tax breaks to billionaires. And it is time we have a strong middle class again. But before we get into some of these issues you touched on, Peter, how do you see the risks to democracy? What are the stakes at, what's really at issue nationally in the state, but in your seat in Congress? What are the big issues that you see we really have to move on before we get sort of into the campaign issues themselves? Is there a threat to democracy?
Well, sadly, there is a threat to democracy. And let me first say thank you, Mark, for your service. You give up a lot of wages that you could be earning through your day job in order to serve the public. And we appreciate it. It's, it's a very important assignment. And obviously, we desperately need people of integrity to serve in that kind of capacity. And, I'm sorry you had to endure the threats that put you in prison just for trying to make sure that seniors could vote during the middle of a pandemic. But obviously it was the right thing to do. And I know seniors across the state appreciated it. But yes, sadly, there is a threat to democracy. We saw it in January 6th. You literally, had people attempt to stop Congress from certifying the election. We have fake electors. I mean, people were coming to Washington and attempting to take the place of those people legitimately elected based on the rules and the laws of our country. So it's a very serious threat that we faced back then. And, once again, there's a bipartisan group in Congress now trying to come together to say that, you know, we should agree that we will certify the legitimate rights of whoever wins the election. And sadly, my opponent isn't one of them. In fact, one thing that he's been criticized for very roundly is, you know, as chairman of the administration committee, was not releasing, you know, certain records and photographs and things like that from the administration committee of what happened on January 6th. And that's that. But there is a threat. It's one we have to take seriously. And, you know, I'm thankful that people like Raffensperger in Georgia that refused to try and mysteriously find votes. And I'm hoping that we come together to protect democracy. Certainly, that's one of the key things you can count on me to always do.
So the just from traveling around your district, how do you feel the energy is out there at the street level now that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz are running and out there, and that's our ticket?
Well, there's no question that there's far more energy at this point. You know, I see it, especially in young people who are volunteering to go knock on doors and pass out literature and make telephone calls. You know, our halls are filled every Saturday and weekends and even during the week with people that are going out and pounding the pavement, and making calls and reaching out to people. And that's what democracy is about, after all, is people engaged. I was like the realtors years ago had a saying, you know, democracy is not a spectator sport. And it's true. We need people to be engaged, to care about their government. I grew up in that manner. Both my parents were very engaged. And we talked about, you know, not just political issues, but just policy issues at the supper table and, you know, things that were key issues of the day. So we need people engaged, and there's more energy than we've had in a long time. So it's very exciting.
You know, I think it's a shout out to you, Peter, for running a race that many people didn't think anybody would be brave enough to step into. You know, that your opponent was sitting on a boatload of money with a lot of national right wing support, and that you're willing to jump in and take him on and take on the Giants to build a middle class is just really, really commendable. The before we get in to some of the specifics, just in like 30 seconds, tell me why your opponent has got to go. And then we'll come back to talk about more details.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say for a number of reasons. First of all,
you got one reason, 30 seconds.
Well, one reason is that, you know, I think he's a threat to our freedoms. He's a threat to the freedom of women's reproductive freedom. He's a threat to senior citizens to have the freedom to enjoy their retirement and Medicare and dignity that they work so hard for, and the freedom for, you know, even democracy and voting. So all of those things, I would say it comes down to freedom and the freedom for people to make a living in the middle class. We can do far better.
You heard it there, folks. Peter Barca, this is The Paul Revere Show. We'll be back more with Peter Barca.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Interest rates, annual fees, oh my gosh, late fees or escrow. Have you ever shopped around for the best credit card deal or tried to understand all those mortgage closing costs? If you have and you found it really frustrating, you are not alone and you are not dumb. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a government agency I actually like, did a lot of research that shows that complex pricing structures are more expensive for us. Complex pricing structures are when there's a lot of different costs at a lot of different levels associated with one product. They make it harder for us to compare prices across offerings. They lead us to make more mistakes. So when I find myself facing a complex pricing situation, I take a deep breath, I slow down, and I do the best math I can to get the best deal I can. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Go down, Moses, way down, Moses. Go down to Egypt land. Lay down, soldiers. Lay down those weapons. Let peace rush in.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am so honored and privileged. I have Peter Barca here running the, just this amazing race to bring democracy back to the first congressional district. We were talking about how your opponent's really a threat to democracy, especially to women's reproductive freedom. Let's hear a little bit more about what you're thinking on those issues and what your opponent's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, many people don't know, but he's one of the few people that signed on to an amicus brief to end Roe v. Wade. So he played a very active role. And when the Supreme Court ruled in that manner, he said it was a great day in America. And of course, that's with Wisconsin at the time having a law that was back in the mid-1800s. It's, prehistoric almost, frankly. And now he would support a national abortion ban. So, where I know that they say, well, don't worry about it. Well, I say, when people say don't worry about it, I get very worried, especially after going through the Walker years where when they went after Act 10, they said, well, don't worry, private sector, we're not after you. And then, of course, then they did right to work. And they said to the construction workers, don't worry, we're not after you. And then all of a sudden they took away prevailing wage and even took away, the ability to for project labor agreements at municipalities like. So when they say don't worry, I get worried. But, there was actually a vote, a couple of votes just a couple of years ago to restore Roe. Of course, he was never going to vote for that, believe in the national abortion ban. But then there was a vote just to say, well, let's at least guarantee that, the right to contraception. And he voted against that, even though there were a number of them in his caucus, a number of Republicans that did vote for it. He wasn't one of them. And the other thing that bothers me is, where I'm like one of the leaders and working across the aisle to get things done, he has one of the lowest ratings for working across the aisle, according to one of the key indexes that measures this. And but he is a threat. I mean, reproductive freedom is very important, especially, we just saw today it was reported a woman in Georgia passed away. I have a cousin out in Oregon, and women that I know they're going to have a stillborn child, they're flying them in to Oregon for her to treat them, because the sad reality is in so many states, they say, well, you're not quite sick enough. It's only when your life is threatened. So you got to come back when you're further, or even sicker. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, and that's the problem. Government is not in a position to make these kinds of decisions. And it's a vital issue. And it's the first time in history that rights that Americans have been enjoyed have been taken away from them. And that is not a path we want to go down. And even IVF could be at risk. And I know he said, well, we passed a resolution, but some of the press have said it's a meaningless resolution because it had no teeth in it. There's actually three bills. There's a Democratic bill, a Republican bill, that if he believes in IVF, he should sign into those bills. I mean, there's Democrats and Republicans on some of the bills. And So if he truly was serious about this, I'd like to see him take some action. But just today, we had a press conference in Racine where we have a health clinic for women in the Racine City Hall that could be threatened based on, the Republican Study Committee that he's part of. And so as a consequence, we definitely need to, it's something very serious, and women's rights are at risk.
I know that you're out there fighting for reduced healthcare costs. How do you see that issue playing out in the first congressional district?
Well, it's very important. And again, that Republican Study Committee that he's part of would actually make Medicare, you know, harder for seniors to use and have more obstacles for them to be able to use it. People, you know, work their entire lives in order to earn Medicare. They call it an entitlement, but it's not really an entitlement. It's something people pay into week after week out of their paycheck. And so his study committee recommended that, and also offer Social Security for people, for young people that have to work longer to be 69 before they could have Social Security. So, and I'm really big in improving health outcomes. I helped to found a society, International Society for Cardiovascular Translational Research. Our whole purpose was to bring innovations from bench to bedside. So there are ways that we can work effectively with the FDA, the National Science Foundation, have more public-private partnerships. So that's a key agenda item that I'll bring forward to try and improve health outcomes for all the population, not just seniors, but people at every age.
Another issue you're out there leading the way on is raising pay for working people and the middle class, and lowering costs. How do you plan to go about that, and where is your opponent on those issues?
Well, the issue there is that, you know, we need to build and expand the middle class. I mean, first of all, the tax breaks that I would sign on to are focused on the middle class. So we give the middle class more of an opportunity to pay less in taxes. He, by contrast, you know, is much more focused on giving the top 1% or corporate tax breaks. I mean, already the corporate tax are below what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce had requested. And so obviously that's where the focus needs to be. But you can build the middle class by having Buy American provisions, by getting rid of some of these disastrous trade deals that have led to the deindustrialization, and through helping to make it easier for people to join a union. Unions are what has always protected people and provided for additional benefits. And then we've got to call out those corporations that are gouging people. You know, those are the things that can make a difference. One thing I didn't even know until some group had brought to my attention that as part of the Financial Institutions Committee, apparently he's received almost $200,000 in contributions from credit card companies. And he voted then to raise our credit card fees. And then finally, I just want to say that, you know, also he voted three times against lowering prescription drug costs for seniors. So that's not lowering costs, that's increasing costs. And I'll fight for the opposite.
You know, it's crucial. We're down to the last few days. What can people do to help you now?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can go to, you know, www.barcaforwisconsin.com and go to our website and learn more about our campaign. They can volunteer through that. They can contribute funds. It's not easy running against a candidate that entered the race with $3 million in the pocket. We've been able to essentially match them since we've been in the race. But, you know, obviously it's a big challenge. They can, you know, reach out to their friends. There's actually a system in place where people can do that through working with our offices, and they can show up at one of our offices all across the district in Janesville, in South Milwaukee, Oak Creek, and in Kenosha. But reach out to us. We're easy to find. Peter at barcaforwisconsin.com.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Thank you, Peter Barca. I know you got a tough race, but it's new maps. And if everybody gets out there and does the work, we can bring Peter across the winning line. Thank you, Peter.
Go down, Moses, way down, Moses. Go down to every land and tell them there is a God.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Within the hour, former President Trump saying in North Carolina there will be no second debate with his Democratic rival Kamala Harris, who urged him to accept an offer from CNN.
She sees the polls. She sees what's happening. She's losing badly, but it's like a fighter
who goes into the ring and gets knocked out, the first thing he says is, I want a rematch. I want a rematch.
This is early voting is going on in states including Virginia, where the director of elections in Fairfax, Eric Spicer, says,
this is our Super Bowl, and we're doing really well. We're in the Super Bowl. We're in the first quarter, the early part of the first quarter. We don't know what's going to happen after today, but so far it's looking great. A lot of voters.
A busy day at President Biden's Indo-Pacific Summit in Delaware. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says,
the Quad will announce its first ever Coast Guard mission together as well, which will show the joint capabilities of the four countries in terms of their Coast Guards.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I'm not sure that it comes down to that. I know they're over there preparing, and we're going to prepare over here and do the best we can come game time. But like you said, we're taking this thing day by day.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically, it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers four games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny, cooler, and much less humid tomorrow, highs in the upper 60s. Sunny and near 70 Monday. Tuesday, once again mostly sunny, highs up to the mid-70s. Currently at 77.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Wisconsin's volunteers are making a difference in our communities every single day. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org. You can filter by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more, all to help find the best fit for you. Go to volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Train rolls by, I'm gonna be ready this time.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. We have been here almost 2 years, maybe a little more than 2 years, moving the state forward. That is our state motto. We are not going back, folks. And to help make us that point, I'm really honored and privileged to have Representative Christine Sinicki, who has been active fighting for working people, women, for as long as I can remember. I first met Christine when she was running. I was living in Bayview in an apartment, and, you know, my kids were young. So that's how long Christine has been fighting. So, hey, introduce yourself, Christine.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me, first of all. So I'm State Representative Chris Sinicki, also chair of the Democratic Party, Milwaukee County. I represent the 20th Assembly District, which is basically Bayview, St. Francis, Cudahy, and now South Milwaukee, just kind of go right along the lakefront. I am running now for my 13th term in the legislature. So that's me in a nutshell. I've got two grown children and two grandchildren, which is why I keep fighting.
So, you know, it's your district, and but it's crucial. It's important to even get out more votes now than ever before. But just an overview before we get into stuff more. What are the most important items to you in this election?
Yeah, the most important issues in this election really are women's healthcare rights, women's reproductive rights, protecting our freedom, and really fighting for our democracy, because our democracy is truly on the line this election.
So
those are the top three issues.
You know, you've been there fighting for people, as I said, for, you know, long, long time now. How do you see a second Trump presidency? How would that impact us and the world? I mean, you've been there in the trenches. How do you see it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, let's go back to the first time he won, and that night and the feelings we all had. I mean, I remember being at the watch party and watching Pennsylvania go to Trump, and I just said, oh God, he won the presidency. And I walked out, because I knew, I didn't want to spoil everybody's fun who still thought that, you know, he was going to lose. But, you know, when we saw what he did the first 4 years, that was just a trial run for him as what his next term would be if he should win. I would hope you all won, all read Project 2025. Because that is the outline for the next Trump presidency. We are looking at basically a dictatorship. It's, I mean, when I started reading that, and I started reading about women's healthcare rights and immigration rights, it's just, it's extremely scary. I mean, he's actually said that he will be a dictator on day one. We all need to pay attention to that, because that is his goal, is to turn America into a dictatorship. He's also said, you know, this will be the last time we have to vote if he wins. That right there is extremely telling. So this is like the most important. And I know we say this every election, but this truly is the most important election of our lifetime in this country.
So I want to just touch on, I know that you were a representative, a delegate at the DNC.
Yeah.
You were there in Chicago.
Yep.
You know, most of us weren't in the room. So tell us about the excitement when Vice President Harris took the stage and said, I'll be your candidate.
It was electric. It was so I had never experienced something like that, you know, and I've been in politics a long time. But that room, that arena, which was filled to the rafters, was full of joy and excitement. We were crying. We were actually crying to think about where we were just a couple of months ago and where we are now. It was just overwhelming. And then I remember thinking, because, you know, that was the same night as the rally at Pfizer Forum. And I remember thinking, Donald Trump is having a meltdown, because not only did we fill one arena, we filled two arenas to the rafters, 90 miles apart. That's how exciting this election is. And to be in that room, to be in that arena that night, about 50 feet away from her when she accepted that nomination, that is something that I will be talking about for years to come to my grandchildren, because I don't know if we'll ever see that again in the next 30 years.
Well, this is for certain. We'll never see again, right?
Right.
Well, because Vice President Harris is going to become President Harris,
mm-hmm.
and no one will ever be able to say again, that was the first woman that took the seat in the White House.
Yep.
And this great country of ours.
Yep. It's historic.
So how is that energy manifesting itself at the doors? Because, I mean, I really think this is really important. I mean, it's excitement of people that are very into politics is very different than, look, most people are just living lives, right? Busy paying bills, mm-hmm. right? Figuring out how to...
Trying to keep their head above water.
Yeah. So how is that energy hitting the doors? I mean, do you see a difference?
Yeah. And, you know, when President Biden steps aside, and, you know, I will always have a very soft spot in my heart for President Biden, as most Americans will. But when he stepped aside, the whole world shifted. It was kind of, you know, when it was President Biden, it was like, okay, we have to reelect President Biden. He's gonna, you know, but nobody had the excitement. The doors were not exciting. We couldn't get people to go out and canvass. But now people open their doors and they're like, yes, I'm with you. I'm voting for Kamala. Get me a sign. When's the next rally? People are so excited. I don't even know how to explain how excited they're. And it's young people and old people, young women, old men, every race and nationality. And honestly, even Republicans are excited, believe it or not. So, I mean, because there were a lot of Republicans who really did not want to see another Trump presidency. So, I mean, we've got Republicans that are actually working with us.
No, I mean, I think that's a very, very important point.
Yeah. Yeah.
The modern Trump Party is a MAGA party, and it's not a Republican party.
No.
Right? I mean, President Eisenhower was a Republican and taxed the wealthy at 90%, and the wealthy in America were still the richest people on the planet.
Right.
But, I mean, Eisenhower just said, look, this is a country for the middle class, and to do that, the wealthy have to pay their fair share. And right. This is not a free ride for them.
Right.
And the we have to get back where we're the middle class and building the middle class an opportunity for everybody and not just billionaires. I mean, it's crazy what's happening.
I mean, yeah, the middle class has kind of been left behind.
I think that's not under Biden. But I mean,
yeah,
the MAGA has buried the middle class.
Exactly. Thank you.
No, I mean, you're right. You're right. President Biden and Vice President Harris have done a lot for working people and building an infrastructure and putting money back out in the states, building roads, building industry, creating jobs without a doubt. But it's crucial that, you know,
well, it's crucial that work continues. And if you listen to what the vice president is saying, she will be building upon that. I mean, she is talking about an economy for the middle class. She's talking about housing. She's talking about good union jobs. She's talking about, you know, childcare. It's this all stuff that we have been talking about for years, and we have a president that is going to continue that fight for us.
The when you're out there on the doors, what is, you know, like the biggest question that you're hearing, and what is it that you, anybody that's out there working, what's the best way to help people find out and, you know, answer the questions?
Oh gosh, you know, in every district across the state, those questions are going to be different, of course. I think the biggest question I hear when I'm out at the doors is really about, there's two things that I hear at the doors. And I will tell you, I'm doing Democratic doors because we need to get every Democrat out to vote. But the two things I'm hearing very strongly is protect our reproductive rights. And that's coming from men and women. And make sure that son of a bee never gets back in the White House. How we can, and, you know, how do we do that? That's what I, that's one of the questions I get. It's like, the way we do that is get your butts to the polls and vote.
You know, the trick is, how are neighbors getting neighbors to the polls?
How do neighbors get neighbors to the polls? We talk to them. We talk it up. We try to, you know, we convince them how important this election is. And on election day, if they have not voted, we throw them in our cars and we take them to vote.
So
except for my neighbor, who's a Trumper.
Let's put it this way. That Trumper has a right to vote, and we have a right to count the vote. Okay, we just have to make sure we win at the ballot box.
Right, but I'm not going to take my neighbor to vote if she's going to vote for Trump.
That's fine. I didn't say it.
She's on her own.
I didn't say you had to give her a ride, but you know, I think people forget about this because there's too much political violence,
right?
And you know, we have to get back to where people feel comfortable going to vote.
Right.
You know, the clerks, municipal clerks around the state that are running elections aren't being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that, you know, we don't have people in your face yelling at somebody in the name of observing just to slow down the lines. I mean, you know, that's.
And that's where things have really changed dramatically. Let me just tell you a real quick story. A number of years ago, one of my neighbors up the street, I think it was the Obama election, actually, and the lines were really long. He had little twin girls, and one of them was sick and crying, and he was like, I can't stay in this line. I'm not going to have a chance to vote.
We are going to finish this story right there. I'm going to leave it hanging. Right.
It's a cliffhanger.
Right. We're in line and we're coming back. Folks, Christine Sinicki, this is your Paul Revere Show. We are moving Wisconsin forward.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. I am honored and privileged to have Representative Christine Sinicki with us. And we're talking about the importance of the right to vote, and that is for everybody, and without being harassed by voting. And Christine was telling us a story. So, let's just hear that story.
Okay, so where did I ended? I believe it was.
Let's just tell the story.
All over again.
Here, okay. Here we go.
Okay, start to begin. So I believe it was 2008, the first Obama race. Lines were extremely long. I was in line to vote, and my neighbor up the street was also in line to vote with his twin girls. They were pretty young babies yet. One of them was sick and just screaming. And those of us who've had babies, we know what it's like to have a screaming sick child. So he was like, I'm not gonna be able to stay. I'm not gonna be able to vote. I gotta get her home. So I said, wait a minute, you need to vote. So I walked up to the front line, you know, and I asked people at the front, I said, we've got a man here with two children who needs to vote. Can we just get him in here to vote? He got it in their vote. And you know what? I knew damn well he was not going to vote for me. But he had the right to cast that vote. Everybody has the right to cast that vote, whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent. That is an American right. So I just, you know, to me, over the years, I have seen such a, I don't even know the word to say, to use, but I mean, our democracy, just the way we talk to each other has just gotten so bad. And that's not the politics that I grew up on.
And yeah, and I think it's important to say that it's not the politics of Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. And this is, right, we want to go forward and we are, to steal a line, we are never going back.
But I am never going back.
So, but you know, the I really want to touch on this energy out there. Mm-hmm. How do you see that playing out the assembly races across the state? I want to talk about this, right? You have been in Madison living under the gerrymandered, you know, Walker Voss tyranny for years. We have new maps, much, much fairer maps, you know, our governor's maps. How do you see this new energy with Vice President Harris at the top of the ticket as it works down to assembly races like yours?
So, you know, with the new maps, when we started looking at the new maps, we kind of figured out, okay, under these maps, we could get to 48, 49, possibly 50, but it would have been really tough to get to that number 50, which is our magic number, because that would give us the majority, which would have then put us in a position where the Republicans would have to deal with us. They could no longer ignore us. But now with the Harris-Waltz ticket, I honestly believe we're going to have some coattail wins. I think we are going to take the majority. And I think other people are seeing that as well. Because when I'm at the Democratic Party office, you know, normally in a big, you know, in the presidential year, people, you know, come and, you know, oh, can I get a Harris sign? But now they're coming in saying, going, can I get Harris, Barca, Sinicki, Kirsch, who's ever on the ballot? There's excitement for the legislative races at all as well. And I'm seeing my colleagues out there working at the doors, helping others in other districts because of the excitement that we could very well take the majority back.
And what does that mean in practical terms for people that aren't into politics day in, day out like you? What does it mean to say that there'll be a majority of Dems in the assembly as a practical matter?
As a practical matter? Okay, so there'll be a majority of Dems in the assembly. The Senate, unfortunately, will still be in the minority. But with one House in the majority, we can actually put bills forward and get hearings on them and actually try to pass some bills. Whereas for the last 13 years, every single bill that I put out never got a hearing. Never got a hearing. We can also start to reverse some of the damage that's been done to the middle class in the state of Wisconsin. We can start to rebuild our organized labor. We can look at starting to repeal right to work, which has been devastating to the middle class here. There's so much we want to do. And if we're going to do this, if we get the majority, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be bold. Last time we had the majority, we were not bold. We need to be bold and do the right thing and push forward and get the work done.
Before we go, there is a new trick that these Republicans are playing. They try to keep putting changes to our Constitution on the ballot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's at stake this November? And what should people be looking out for?
There will be a referendum calling for a constitutional amendment. And what that amendment is going to do is basically put our voter ID laws into our Constitution. Right now, they're in state law. So once we get the majority in both houses and we have the governor's office, we can reverse what they've done to our voting laws. But if this gets into the Constitution, it'll be years before we can get it out.
Folks,
so it needs to be a no vote.
You heard it here. Representative Christine Sinicki, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are not going back. Can I hear that?
We are not going back.
Hey, folks. Forward Wisconsin. Talk to your neighbors. Everybody. Get in the boat and row hard. This is your Paul Revere Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.